You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
So an actor is saying his lines, and then out of nowhere, he just starts singing.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Jimmy, don't cry for me.
Okay, this week we're talking to Aisha Jackson of Frozen
Aisha.
Fame.
Aisha.
I feel like wrong name.
I know, but it sounds kind of like Aida.
Yeah, which like hot take. If you don't know the score of Aida,
yeah.
Stop. Maddie Trumbull had a whole like rant on social media about this. Go check out the Aida score.
The Dance of the Rogue.
Adam Pascal and who is the girl who played Aida?
Heather Headley.
Oh,
Heather Headley, bro. I saw the out-of-town tryout in Chicago when I was 10.
Really?
Yes. And crazy story about that. I can't believe, I don't know why we're getting on an Aida tangent, but when they die at the end, it's a Romeo and Juliet story, you know, not right. giving anything away. They die at the end. It used to be in Chicago, they used to be buried alive in a tomb, and the tomb would raise up 30 feet in the air in the middle of the you know, sort of, so it's in the middle of the proscenium. My mom and I are sitting in the house, and it came crashing down.
No.
Cable snapped.
No.
The tomb comes crashing down. Adam Pascal and Heather Headley come falling out of the thing.
No.
Unconscious.
Unconscious?
Unconscious. Light, curtain down, lights up. Is there a doctor in the house? My mom grabs me. We run out of the theater. There's a write-up about it in the Tribune the next day.
Oh, my God.
We then get tickets to go back. They send an email to anybody who, or we got a phone call. This was like, you know, 2000 or something. And so we get tickets to go back, and they just have them die in the tomb, and the tomb is sitting on the ground. Come to find out, they were fine. They were just like, they went to the hospital. They were a little banged up, like some bruises and stuff, but nobody was
traumatized a little bit.
Traumatized.
I'm sure. Right.
I got to meet, so Tom Schumacher was a producer on that, the head of Disney Theatrical. Disney produced Aida. And I'm sitting at an event with Tom, and he's one of the biggest creative forces in New York, you know, and I'm finally getting a chance to talk to him. We start talking about Aida. They're trying to revive it, trying to bring it back.
Mm.
And I tell him that story, and he's like, oh my God. He's like, I've never talked to anybody who was in the house that night, because
wow.
they were in California. They had been in Chicago working on the show, and then they had gotten on a plane to fly to California at like in the afternoon or something before that performance. They were in California. They got news that happened. They turned around and flew back to Chicago immediately and like met them in the hospital.
Wow.
Like a crazy, it was, yeah. So that's one of Joe's craziest theater stories
that's
ever.
That's such a great story. And it's weird that we're talking about this, like trying to segue into talking about Aisha, but that's an amazing story.
Yeah. That's, yeah. So that's my,
And that show Aida is so good, which you should all check out.
And they're trying to revive it, which is cool. So look out for that. But yeah, we just got done talking to Aisha Jackson. She's the standby for Anna in Frozen. She did Waitress. She did Beautiful. She's apparently, based on our conversation, done every reading of every new cool musical that has ever existed.
She's like one of the most sought after young actresses in the city. And like, it's funny because like when you're friends with these people and you see how much they work, like in the, because the way our industry kind of functions is that there's a lot of stuff that takes a long time to develop. But you see that these certain people are like in all of the developmental stages of everything, which is like the most, that's what me and Joe really want to do.
Yeah, you want
to
be developing.
You want to be the person who they're like always contacting to do those things. And Aisha like is that.
Yeah.
And everybody wants her.
Totally. And so we'll get right to it. But for me, listen towards the end when she has such a great head on her shoulders about like being present and being where you're at and trying to, you know, be grateful for where you are. And also we got off mic as she was leaving your apartment, but she started talking about, you know, just trusting yourself in auditions, because her Anna is so different than Patty's,
right?
And everybody around her was like, no, just do, we love your version and we want your version and we're lucky to have your version as the standby version. And and so trusting that when you go into an audition that like you got to leave it out there and be like, if you want me, this is what you're getting, and if you don't, that's totally fine, but I'm not gonna not be myself, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, we got to talk a little bit about her being a person of color, playing a role that was originally in the film played by a white actress, and what that has been for her and how that experience is important and the things that we like, you know, need to pay better attention to in the business and all that. And that's all like really super important and compelling stuff that we got to talk about here, which was really awesome.
Yeah.
And she's just like really, you know, super lovely, and bubbly, she's got such a bubbly personality, and she just knows who she is, and she's, you know, she's...
Yeah. She's so welcoming of me and the company, like, you know, because we go on a lot together when, you know, Patty's injured or sick or on, you know, working on another project or whatever. And she just has been an absolute light because we went on together very early in my run when I'm still figuring out what the hell I was doing. And she was just like, she, you know, sort of hold my hand and like, okay, off we go. Everything's fine. You're fine.
Yeah.
You know, I got you, you know, and she just has that personality. So,
yeah.
So this is, and we really wanted to talk to her because of the Venn diagram of our shows. She originated in Waitress, or she's the original Broadway company of Waitress. She's currently in Frozen. So she's like this, you know, if you see, it's like Dan, the circle of Dan and the circle of Joe, and Aisha's in the middle.
In the middle,
she's,
totally. She's above. Yeah, that's so true.
So check out our interview with Aisha.
I still don't love it.
Yeah, I don't love it either. Here's Aisha. Yeah. I want to say, first of all, thank you for, Aisha's here. Thank you for coming.
Hi.
She's already been to the gym.
I know.
Yeah.
It's early. It's 10 o'clock in the morning.
I guess 8 a.m. class.
Yeah. I'm in my bed asleep right now with this microphone. Just kidding.
You don't look
under
great,
the covers. Dana.
No, you know, I had a little bit of yes. I was up later than I wanted to yesterday. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was too, because Patty Murin's Hallmark movie premiered last night and we went to
Congratulations,
a bar.
Patty.
Yes.
Yeah. So check out Patty on the Hallmark channel.
Yes.
So one of the reasons that we wanted to have you on Guys Who Like Musicals, because we're Guys Who Like Musicals, is that you did Dan's show and you're currently in Joe's show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You did Waitress and you're in Frozen.
Yeah.
What do you like better?
Jesus. Joe gets so petty on this show. So
he gets
funny.
Petty. You're petty.
No, it was
they
actually.
Can't be compared.
They can't be compared.
Right.
They are just both experiences of their own that I treasure.
And you're so blessed.
I know. Yes. No, that was. It was supposed to be a joke. I bad jokes.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We're just teasing you, Joe. Don't be sensitive.
Well, okay. I'm kind of sensitive.
It's
Dan.
Okay.
Wow.
It's okay.
Oh my god.
It's fine. What specifically do you like about my performance?
Okay.
Aisha?
Well, specifically, okay. Joe Carroll really brings something new to the role.
No.
And
that's all the time
goodbye.
We have for today.
Thank you so much.
How did you get involved in Waitress? Because that was pretty well, you made your Broadway debut in Beautiful. We were talking about that a second ago.
I did.
Well, let's start with that one. What was that? What was that experience like?
It was a year after moving to the city. I graduated from the University of Northern Colorado.
Oh, cool.
I just found this out the other day, and I work with high school students all the time, and that's a place that we always tell them to look. It's a kind of this under-the-radar musical theater.
Greeley, Colorado.
Yeah, yeah.
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 And Mike Ruckles used to be on faculty there, right?
Yes. Mike Ruckles' final year there was my first year.
Okay,
so
cool.
So we kind of like, he taught our showcase class, and then he left and he was going to New York and everyone was like, no, don't leave. And I was like, yes, if he leaves, then that means I have a voice teacher when I get there. I'm like, this is about the long game.
Right, no, totally.
But I graduated in 2013 and I moved to New York August 2013 and got a one-way ticket. My mom was like, can you just stay a little longer? I was like, I'll stay a few more days, but I'm leaving.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, from College Park.
Yeah. Cool.
And I got a one-way ticket standing by from, like, everyone works for Delta down there. So everyone knows someone who works for Delta. So I'm like, hey, can you give me a standby ticket? That's what happened. Got on that flight. I had, like, 4 or 5 bags. I had $150 in my bank account.
Yes.
I had no place to stay, no job. I was just like, here we go. And, came here. And my cousin had, like, a basement apartment. And I was like, okay, I'm going to sleep on her futon. And then I'm going to go to my grandpa's house and I'm going to do this. But that was before I understood what couch hopping in New York City was and how hard it was from borough to borough and all these different things.
Right.
So I'm just, like, at her basement apartment. And then her roommate moves out. And I was like, oh, can I have the room? Okay, great.
Nice.
So then I was like, okay, I have an apartment, Mom. Look what happened. I worked at Capizio and like stayed there. And I auditioned for Beautiful a year after being here. And I auditioned for the tour. Mm-hmm. But it was a year in advance. And I was like, wow. It's in a year. Maybe there's a spot on Broadway that's opening up. Who knows? And so then I auditioned and I walk out and had a callback, did the whole thing. And then my agent calls me and she's like, hey, so they don't want you for the tour, but, you know, they were wondering if in the meantime you would swing on Broadway. And I was like, oh, let me think about it. Yes. I literally was like, what? Are you serious? So I was like, yeah, let's do that.
And she set you up. That's the worst thing. Hey, I'm sorry. This is not, the tour is not going your way, but like,
okay,
you're going to make your Broadway debut.
And I was like, what? And then the like, they were wondering. I'm like, yeah, let me think about it. Right. Yes. What?
Yeah.
So yeah, that was amazing. And that was in the fall of 2014, I guess. And so I made my debut January 23rd, 2015.
That's amazing.
And yeah, swung over there. There, Alicia was leaving to do Hamilton, and then they popped the swing up into an ensemble role, and so there was a spot for me. And
That's
I was like,
awesome.
"This is cool."
And how long did you do that?
I only did it for 9 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, I covered 6 of the roles over there, and ended up doing like 5 of them. And then Diane Paulus, my first show in the city was with Diane Paulus doing Witness Uganda at the American Repertory Theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I got written up at Capizio for going to that callback. I was like, I didn't come here to sell shoes. Yeah. I came here to be on Broadway.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went to the callback and I couldn't get my shifts covered. And I was like, I'm going. Right. I have to go. I can't. Right. It's Diane Paulus. Like, come on.
It's still in your permanent record at Capizio.
Yes,
you can walk in there and be like, take a picture of that.
Yeah. I probably have it somewhere because I was like, I'm keeping this because this was the day that I had to make a choice. But yeah, I went and got Witness Uganda. We did it at American Repertory Theater. And then like, a year and a half or 2 years later, we did it at Second Stage.
Yeah. I love that music. That show was so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still get the invisible thread stuck in my head.
There's a long,
which is what they changed the title
thread.
To, right?
Yes.
And is it back now?
And now it's back to Witness Uganda. Yeah. They just did it in LA.
Yeah, my best friend from college just did Tyrone's track in LA.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, so we did that. I ended up leaving Beautiful to go and do the off-Broadway production. I left my first Broadway show to do my first off-Broadway show.
Nice.
Amazing.
But it was something I believed in, totally. And it's a beautiful story. And we ended up going to Uganda to meet the children, like the students they wrote the show about.
Wow.
So that was like, I was like, this is a once in a lifetime. Like, I have to do this.
Whoa.
And, so yeah, we did it at Second Stage, Invisible Thread, and in the middle of that, I was doing double duty, which I love. On Bronx Tale at Paper Mill, but I also did Waitress with Diane in the middle of that. And
were you involved like in the labs in the beginning before ART?
Yeah. Well, no. ART, when they were doing ART, I think.
The labs were after ART.
Yes, the labs were after. So I wasn't a part of the ART cast.
Got it.
I did the labs when they came back into the city.
Got it. And, like, I heard a lot of things changed after that.
Yes.
Like, I heard.
On the first day of rehearsal, we had I Can Wait, Can You? What's the ensemble? It's in the waiting room. I Can Wait.
The ensemble song.
I wish there was a way to integrate a new little life into ours. That's my favorite line. And then it got cut.
Yeah, and now it's
literally
Club
we
Knocked
learned
up,
it
right?
The first, I think it was the first day. And the next day they were like, so we're going to cut this. And we were like, okay. But yeah, they chopped a lot of different things.
Yeah.
After that.
And the hospital scene was like 25 minutes long or something.
Oh yeah,
it was like
oh my
scenes.
God, they were like, they had like freeze. They would freeze and then they would go back into like labor and then they would freeze and choose another. Like it was a lot. It was a lot. Wow. I was a resident nurse in the like in that scene that got chopped. I still had the little tag though. Someone came to my house and they saw it. They were like, what's that from? Did you used to work? And I was like, no.
Just played one
I was
on
like,
TV.
That's from Waitress.
Yeah.
But yeah, it changed a lot. But yeah, I ended up doing that. And then after the lab, we went back and I got fired from Bronx Tale. And we did Waitress. I don't know if you want to put that in there. You don't have to.
You can.
It's up to you.
I just got fired from Frozen, so.
Shut up.
What do you mean? Do you mean if you actually want to talk about it, we can talk about it because I think that stuff is interesting.
It is interesting.
If you don't want to talk about it, then we don't have to.
Okay, so when we were doing Invisible Thread at Second Stage, I did the lab of Waitress with Diane, and then shortly after that lab, Sergio was working on Invisible Thread, and he was also working on Bronx Tale.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went in for Bronx Tale and was in that ensemble. And we did it at Paper Mill. Right after Invisible Thread closed, we started Bronx Tale like the very next day and did that at Paper Mill. But in the middle of that, Waitress was beginning for Broadway. And I had already said yes to that. And my agent at the time, I was like, are you sure we're going to be able to do both? And she was like, oh, yeah, they gave us the okay. They said they would work around the scheduling. And I was like, wow, okay, cool. So then we got to the time to begin rehearsals for Waitress, and I was an understudy in Bronx Tale, and Waitress didn't know that. And so once we looked at the rehearsal schedule, because we had to have understudy rehearsals,
right,
it looked like I was only available to come to Waitress once a week, one day out of the week.
Yeah.
And, you know, Paper Mill, you got to get there.
Right.
So that's time a out of the
commute.
Day.
Right.
Yeah. And it just did not work out. And so it became a, like, tug of war between Bronx Tale rehearsals and Waitress rehearsals. And Bronx Tale was in their, like, final previews. And it was, like, the last day of previews. And it was, like, the first week of rehearsals for Waitress. And I just had to, like, make a choice of which rehearsal. I was on the schedule for both rehearsals.
Fuck.
So you were fired because you were just too
double
busy.
Yeah.
Not because you did anything wrong.
No, not because of my...
Right.
But it made me feel horrible because I
of
was
course,
like,
yeah.
If someone ever sees this or if, like, they're not going to be like, oh, Aisha's agents didn't tell them that she was a understudy or, oh, you know, it's not going to... It just looks bad to me. It just just looks bad.
But do you feel like that stuff has actually followed you or is that just you were just scared of it?
Yeah, I was just very scared because, I mean, that was like... towards the beginning of my career.
Totally.
And I'm like, I have Waitress's original Broadway credit. That's like been a goal of mine to originate with a show. And like, it's right here at my feet. But then you also have Bronx Tale and I don't want to piss them off. And I want to be loyal to them. It was just, it was a lot. It was, I cried a lot in my dressing room Bronx Tale and would like tell the whole cast. Like I went and apologized to all of them. I wrote apology letters, like, but then I got written up and we opened the show and I wrote all these apology letters. And then I was like, we did it. I opened. I'm not fired. There are no more conflicts with the schedules. And then they called me and they were like, so effective immediately, you are terminated. And I was like,
oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I think they just wanted to get through opening weekend and, you know, without a fuss.
Right.
And yeah.
That's tough.
Well, I'm so sorry. That's crazy.
And yeah, it was just scheduling and it was a lack of communication. And
right.
Yeah.
Totally. The technical like things about the job that's hard.
Yeah.
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 That you would never want to be.
Yeah. But that
no,
to
it's
me
interesting
is like, it's hard when it gets put on the actor too. Cause that to me is like you were told this is going to work out.
Yeah.
And also I have this like actor first rah-rah thing where like everybody is looking out for themselves. So whatever is in the best interest of their own thing is what they're going to do. The producers are going to do it. The directors are going to do it.
Right.
But then if the actor wants to do it, all of a sudden,
it's
now
like,
you're difficult to work with
oh
or something.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Right.
And that's what I felt
right.
In that moment. I was like, oh, my, because I had sat down with everyone at Bronx Tale, with artistic director at a Paper Mill. I had sat down with the director, with the stage manager, which everyone, and everyone was on my side like, oh, this was a mess up. Like, you know, agent at the time like didn't really take care of it the way that they should have and and they also didn't want to take responsibility for it
of
and
course,
I was like guys come on
you're ruining
I'm like
my
pleading
life.
with this creative team and I'm like over here pleading with Waitress's creative team and like everyone is being so supportive but at the end of the day I have to make a decision because it's not going to work you can't do both
so that gets resolved and then Waitress that whole process the Broadway process really kicks into full gear.
Yeah.
And I texted our friend Ryan Vasquez last night and I was like, is there anything, any little tidbits from that original process? And he was like, honestly, so many. And he said to He said to bring up how seriously you took the dancing during the wedding.
Everyone's favorite part of the musical for
sure. Oh my God, it's the worst. Oh my God, but we would, I took it seriously. Yeah, for sure. We get on stage and I'm like, all right, here we go. Let's see these moves. Like took it so seriously to the point that we definitely got notes to like tone it down.
Pull it back.
There's another scene happening and you're like,
we're
watching you. And
I'm like,
I mean, I can't help what the people want. You know, I got to give the people what they want. But yes, Ryan and I had so much fun at the wedding together.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I miss him. I love him. Yeah, it was really cool. It comes with its struggles. You know, it's a new musical and you're building and changing, and you have people who have done it and you have people who haven't done it.
Sure.
And it was a crazy process.
Can I ask, we have a lot of people asking the DMs about like what the process is like in tech for an opening a Broadway show. And I know you guys have both experienced that, but I would love to hear, you know, if you have any, were there any crazy stories of things coming in at the last minute or like changes being made? Like
the funniest, well, not funniest. I think the most difficult challenge about tech is when you get a change or a new song or a new scene. Okay, let's say it's Wednesday and we're in rehearsal and we get that new scene, but Wednesday night we need to do the old scene because we're not going to put it in until Thursday night.
Right.
That to me is weird because on Wednesday you're teaching a new scene, but Wednesday night I need to do what I did last night, but tomorrow I'm going to do something different. That is such a like, what? Don't give it to me.
Oh
but it's
God.
Like we have to maximize our time. This is the time that we have to work on it.
Right.
For Waitress, we put in Club Knocked Up. In a day, we had kept so the song that I sang earlier, the I Can't Wait, is what that transition song used to be. But since they chopped it, they were like trying to figure out a way to make it work. And we had like choreography and we had music, but I don't think there was singing there. And then Sarah and Nadia pulled us into a side room and they're like, okay, so we're gonna put this in tonight. The harmonies, oh my God,
yeah, because yeah,
we were like,
they're tight.
Okay, cool. We ran it so many times over and over and over, and we did it. And it was nerve-wracking, but we did it. We figured it out.
In a day.
Yeah, in a day. They were like, all right, we're going to put this in tonight. And we were like, okay, cool, let's do it.
Because you're also quick-changing into it.
Yes, quick-changing into it. Sing the
all
song.
All that choreography.
And then
in a day.
Run away.
Right.
Yeah, and like these tight, close harmonies were like, yeah. Thanks, Sarah.
It's like a doo-wop-y, Motown-y kind
yeah.
of
yeah.
like
thing.
Yeah. It's
like
funny because you and Jesse have both been in Beautiful.
Yes.
And
Beautiful, she came in after Kimber. But she did the same track I did in
right,
Beautiful.
Right.
And yeah, now she's in the same track I did in Waitress.
Yeah. And I just think it's interesting because I know that that section is particularly like kind of calls to that Motown sound, which is interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting too, because you said that is a transition moment. And so like,
it
if you see
transition.
The show,
a
lot of people would probably just like, oh, that's a cute little moment that maybe it's not, you know, they're going to remember, you know, mm-hmm. She Used to Be Mine or whatever. They're going to remember these
big moments
from the show, but they're not going to remember that you guys spent a whole day, or they're not going to know that you spent a whole day learning the tightest, most intricate harmonies. You had like 5 or 6 hours to rehearse it to then put it in the show that night. And it was, you're sweating bullets. It was so hard. And then everybody's like, oh, that was a nice transition. Look at and now we're in a different place. What's the story now? Like,
right.
It's like,
right.
If you pay attention to that minutia,
like
that's really what I find tech to be.
Yes.
Is a lot of that. Like, how are we going to get from this moment to that moment? And it takes forever.
It takes forever.
How long
to
did
do
you
the
tech
shortest thing.
Waitress? Do you remember how long you were actually in tech for?
I think we had the normal month of previews, which to me is still tech.
Yeah, that's all tech all day. And that's another thing people might not really know. When you're in previews, when you see a show in previews, you're in rehearsal from
day.
12 to 5 or from, you know, maybe even 10 to 6 or something before the show
before
that
the
night.
Show.
It's crazy.
So maybe like, I feel like our tech process was like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that feels right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then as you're moving through, did you understudy a waitress?
No.
Nice.
I was the only person in the cast who did not understudy.
So you didn't have to go anywhere on Thursday and Friday afternoons.
No, I did not. Yeah. It's funny though, because when I auditioned thinking that I would be understudying.
Yeah.
And I learned the music and everything. And when we got into the room, agent at the time, they're going to announce the understudies and the covers when you get there on the first day. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Got there on the first day. I opened my script and they have listed everyone who's doing whatever. I was like, oh, my name's not on there. Cool. This is weird because I thought I expected it, you know?
Right.
And so then it took me like shifting my perspective to be like, okay, cool. You don't have to come to understudy rehearsal. You don't have this responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So free yourself of it. Don't be upset that you didn't get it. That doesn't mean that you aren't capable.
Right.
It's just that it didn't fit. So here we go.
Right.
Keep it moving. And then we had some a series of events and they needed someone to cover Don. And I was like, oh, you want me to do it? And at that moment, I just didn't feel, I had already gone through this whole getting myself and, and I saw everyone going to understudy rehearsals every single week. And I was like, and you know, I like to do double duty. So I was like, if I do that, it's not going to be able to.
Yeah. And it's a great point. Sometimes actually not understudying then frees you up to do all sorts of stuff during the week. And that's huge. Cause then you can develop all sorts of other things and put irons in the fire. And one of my best friends, Max Clayton, who I bring up on the podcast almost weekly, he was like that at Moulin Rouge when he was like, they were like, would you like to understudy? And he was like, I'm good. You know, he was like, I don't need to do that right now. Yeah. It's a ton of responsibility anyway, without it,
it is.
You know? And then as you're moving through that process, and then when does Frozen sort of first rear its head?
Frozen. This is so funny because it always, and it's a blessing and I love it, but it always comes at like this, like you have to make a choice between the two. Mm-hmm. That's what happened with Bronx Tale and Waitress. Right. And I'm in Waitress and I was doing the workshop of Ain't Too Proud. And they started auditions for Frozen. So I'm in the middle of doing that and I auditioned for Frozen and I'm like, oh my God, this is really cool. What? And I originally went in for the role of Elsa. And I remember I'm with CGF, and I remember Michael Goddard calling me and being like, so they want to see you for the role of Elsa? And I was like, they want to see me for the role of Elsa? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, they want to see me? And he was like, yes. And I was like, okay, cool, let's do it. So I learned Let It Go and, like, you know, go into the room for for Telsie, and I leave and they're like, great, we're going to call you back. Wear something different. She's the older sister. And I'm like, I am an older sister. I literally have a younger sister. And they're like, yeah, but you need to be like a little bit. They're like, you're so bubbly and youthful and like, you know, just try to think of her in this way. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So then I like put on a different outfit and I'm like, I'm going to get this. And they were like, you know, make yourself a little grounded. So, like, I was like, okay, I'm not going to wear heels. Mm-hmm. So then I go in this, like, these boots and this little dress. And then I sit down and I look in the waiting room and I look around at all the Elsas and what they're wearing. And then I look around at all the Annas and what they're wearing. And I look at myself and I say, you dress like Anna today. I'm like trying to be like grounded and you're going to be the older sister. And I'm like, I just laughed to myself. I was like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
Go in, do what you do. So I did it, and then I come back out, and they were like, so, I don't know if we'll call you back for Elsa. We'll see. But they were wondering if you wouldn't mind reading the sides for Anna. And I was like, sure.
Right.
Because I just laughed to myself. I was like, you did this to yourself.
Yeah, it's like, it was the boots, wasn't it? Yeah.
I was like, it was the boots. That's what it was. I was trying to be grounded. But, yeah, and I laughed, and I was like, of course. She's a principal, and she goes on a journey, and she falls in love, and she, like, she is a huge part of this show and like telling this story. I was like, certainly, I'd love to.
Yeah.
So, so I took that and then I made it to final callbacks with what I thought was the final callback. We were like on a stage and doing the things, and then they were like, you know, partnering you up with different people, and I'm like, wow, this is cool.
Well, that was we talked to John Riddle the other day, and he mentioned
I met him that day.
So what was that like? You don't, for people who don't know, you don't audition on stages, you know, in New York City. You audition in a small room with a piano. Like, it's not, you're not on stage. It's not like, you know, the original production of A Chorus Line or something.
Right.
You know,
so you're in this small white room.
Yeah,
and
it's
then
like a doctor's
they're
office.
Like, no, come to this theater. And I'm like, okay. So we get there and it's, you just see all these people. There's so many people there. Mm-hmm. And I ended up being there for like, it was all day.
Wow.
It was like from something crazy, like 10 or 12 until like 6 or something like that.
Wow.
It was weird. And I met Jelani. Mm-hmm. I remember Casey was there. I read with like Betsy Wolf. I read with like with John Riddle. I read with so many different people.
And the Scarecrow and the Tin Man. Yeah, you were there.
Dorothy was there.
And Toto was there.
Kara Lindsay was there. Like all these different people. And so I'm like, first of all, I'm like, this is cool.
So
like I've made it to
the
point where I'm like meeting with all these other people. And Yeah, but they brought me in and they're like, okay, sing. And then they're like, go back out. And then Bernie comes out and is like, okay, this is what I need you to do. And he talks to me and I'm like, okay. And then you go back in, you do it again. And then they're like, okay, read with this person. Now read with this person. And throughout the day, you see them sending people away, but you're like still there. So you're like, okay, this could be good. And then they call me in again at the end of the day and they're like, let's change the, it was true love. Let's change the key of it so that it sits higher in your voice and let us hear it. And
nice.
So where you go, where I'm doing all, and I'm like, I think they like me. Yeah. And then like Kristen is like crying in the audience. And I'm like, wow, the guy moved her. Yeah, like, yeah, you know, yeah. You're like all these things are running through your head. And I was like, cool. And then I leave. And then my agent called me. He's like, so they want to see you for another callback. And I was like, oh wait, God, that what? Wasn't it? that wasn't it.
Oh, man.
I thought that was the, like final. And they're like, again. And you know,
what else do you want?
Yeah. Like, I have nothing else to give you.
Yeah. And then I like find myself getting sick. So of course I'm like, well, that one was great. And then if I come back and you know, anyway, yeah. We do all of those things. And they call me and they were like, so you didn't book Anna, but they want you to stand by. And I was like, really? Okay. And one of the reasons in Waitress I didn't want to understudy again was because the anxiety that I received from being a swinging and beautiful, I loved it. Mm-hmm. But those moments of like sitting there and watching everybody else get ready always like made me feel weird sometimes. Like, yeah. You know, you go back and forth, the ebb and flow. Mm-hmm. And then the anxiety of like not knowing who you might be that evening.
Right.
So in Beautiful, there were six choices right. of like, yeah. You could be any of these women yeah. tonight.
It's like and Russian roulette.
Yeah.
Like,
and the challenge of it was yeah. like, oh, this is cool. Like challenge your brain to see like what you can do.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I do feel like I have like a swing brain, mm-hmm. but I was also like, okay, do you remember everything? What are you supposed to do? Okay, this is that, not that track. This cue is for that one, not for this, you know, the back and forth.
Totally.
So for Waitress, when I was like, nah, I think I'm okay. But then Standing By presented another vein of that same thing. And mm-hmm. I was like, huh. Okay, so it's a standby, but just for her.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go on, that's the only thing I'm responsible for.
Right.
And you're like, yeah. And I was like, okay. All right, let me think about this for a second. It took me so long to say yes.
Yeah.
Also because I was waiting to see what was happening with Ain't Too Proud.
Sure.
And I knew they were going to Berkeley, but Frozen was like, so here's Denver and Broadway. Mm-hmm. And Ain't Too Proud was like,
maybe.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see what's right. happening. I think we're going to Berkeley. So it was like that moment of like, what do you wait on? But right. with Ain't Too Proud, it's like these beautiful human beings, this beautiful story, this beautiful team to work with. And also, it doesn't often happen that a person of color gets to be in a cast and look around and see themselves everywhere.
Right.
So I was like, wow, this would be like my first time, you know, and Witness Uganda was that, but I was like, this is on its way to Broadway. And it's like, I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I'm going to wait. I'm going to see. And it just, it didn't. They were like, do you want this or not? Like, do you want to do Frozen or not? And I was like, yeah, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I knew that the opportunity for Frozen was a beautiful and amazing thing that I right. should not pass up on.
Right.
But it was just, you know, Ain't Too Proud was on the other side. And I was like,
when you knew, everybody knew that was going to be so special. Yes. Ain't Too Proud, even before when they did the early readings,
yes.
Everybody yes. knew it was going to be huge
yes.
and they knew it was going to be special.
Yeah.
So, but like at that time, Ain't Too Proud didn't want to go out with you. Like Frozen was like, will you go out with me?
Right.
And it's like, well, I kind of want to. I
and it was
go
funny
out.
Because
like, I kind of want a date.
Yes. You know? And it was funny because Ain't Too Proud, everyone word of
nice
mouth
metaphor,
was like, can you go out with me?
Right.
But
right.
I didn't have that piece of paper
right.
signing the line
right,
to
right.
be like,
right.
we are together.
Right.
So
right.
yeah. So I was like, y'all got a piece of paper for me? And
right,
they were like,
right.
no, we don't have anything.
Yeah, we don't
yet.
Have any
we're
dinner
waiting.
Reservations, but like
yeah,
like,
we don't have reservations, but we know that the restaurant we want to go to.
Right, right, right.
But we gotta see. If they have space for us, that's basically what it was. And it's like, you know, you call and they're like, you know, the wait won't be long.
Right.
We'll see. Right. But I was like, well, I need to know because like my table is ready over there
yes.
at this other spot.
That's at a really good restaurant.
Yeah.
Right. Right. This really cute guy wants to, you know,
yes.
this is a good analogy. I'm proud
yeah,
of this
it
one.
Is.
Yeah.
Good
it
one,
really
Joe.
Is. Really
yeah.
Proud of you.
No, but that's really hard because I mean, you have to make a decision, you
right.
know, that the choosing. The,
and so you know. I was like, okay, I'm
yeah.
gonna do it. I'm gonna do Frozen.
Yeah. And then it's been like three years.
Yeah, we started
basically later.
For Denver, we started June 2017.
You there was a back and forth on Instagram with somebody
mm-hmm.
about One of the times,
my hair.
Yeah, when you went on, and it was the hair thing.
Yeah,
and I wondered, like, you were so eloquent when you in your kind of in the comebacks and the way that you were like trying to talk this person, because I saw it and immediately was like ignorant person, blah blah blah,
right.
And you like took the time even in an age of like social media being horrible to like actually talk to somebody over an Instagram platform.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I've had a few people DM me, and it starts with like a, when I walked into the theater and I saw that I've even had someone say a colored person, but they're like from a different country, and I'm like,
oh boy,
skin crawl. But right. Even in that entire exchange, it went from them just saying that them seeing a person of color kind of threw them off, but throughout the show, they were much more accepting of it. And they walked out of the theater feeling differently than they did walking in. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, let's start with that. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then I always ask if it's okay for me to share people's messages that they send me, whether they are, I mean, if they're negative, I don't ask. But, right. You know, sometimes if they start, like, they're going to be negative and then they move to a positive place. I share it because I want everyone to see, like, one, with the negative ones, racism and things like that are still very active and alive in our country. And a lot of people don't think that it is or they're like, oh, whatever, you know. But I'm like, yeah, it does happen. So I put it out there because I want people to see what we deal with. I also know that I try my best to, like, acknowledge it and respond to it in a professional way, in a way to, like, let me give you some knowledge so that you won't do this to someone else. Mm-hmm. And just, like, I don't think that we should respond to hate with hate. Like, clearly it was the way that you were raised or the way that you're whatever, however you think. But in that moment, it doesn't behoove me to get upset and to get pissed and to, like, go off on you.
Right.
Because where I just want to come from a place of love and light, and I want to be able to let you know, like, it's okay. And I know you feel like that, but that's really not valid and it's hurtful. And, like, and this is why. And maybe no one would ever tell you that or take the time to explain that to you.
Right.
Because it's not my job to do so. But
yeah, that's the thing that's so unfair is that you're in this position where you have to teach someone now.
Yes.
It's like, that's not what you signed up for. You're here to be an actress.
At all.
You know?
Yeah.
And Joe and I don't have to teach anyone anything.
Right.
No.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the thing with people of color, which is hard. It's like that line of like, ugh, I'm so done with this. But it's also that line of like, I don't want this to happen to someone else. And I also don't want to continue dealing with it. So if I call it out in such a way that brings light to like, you're being an idiot and you're being ignorant, but I do it in a way that is kind, maybe they'll actually hear it.
Yeah. Right.
And maybe they'll think about it. They might not. They might, not, you know, they might continue thinking and feeling and speaking.
Right.
In that ignorant way, but I'll take a stab at
it. It was interesting because it was about like Anna has in the movie has these red pigtails or whatever.
Right.
And you know, it felt like this person was coming at you who was younger. It felt like they were a young person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's easier to, you know, teach a young dog new tricks as opposed to like some old racist person. But like if you get a young racist person, you might be able to be like, hey, you know,
hey.
But that was the thing. And, you know, so you were like, this is a fictional character.
Yeah.
And my hair looks like a lot of little girls' hair. And I'm playing this part. And this part, it needs to be representative of a lot of things, you know.
Well, I sat down with David for
David?
Brown.
Brian Brown. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. The hair designer of Frozen.
The hair designer of Frozen. I sat down with him. I remember in the very beginning, and we were doing our wig fittings, and he was like, okay, so I've pulled some, like, because I know black women who have red hair, and they look amazing.
Right.
So, I mean, my little sister has dyed her hair red, and I'm like, okay, cool, girl, you look good. But David, he came to me, and he was like, so I have pulled some red, some reddish browns. We can mix, and, you know, we can have highlights of red if you desire, like, but, like, figure out what color works with your skin tone and things like that. And I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
So then we're sitting there, and he puts on this like brown base and then like put some little red highlights in it. And I was like, maybe not that brown, maybe this brown with this red. And so we go back and forth. And then I was like, you know what? Can we just do brown? Like, can we just do my hair color? And he was like, certainly. He was like, Disney has approved, like, you have the choice in this matter. And I was like, thank you. I appreciate that. And I think we should just go with my hair. And he was like, okay, and if you change your mind and you want to add things, we can always add. And I was like, cool. And I walked away from that. In that moment, I was just like, yeah, that's not how I look. Like, that's not me. And if I'm going to be stepping into this character, one, I want it to be a resemblance of myself, but also all these little beautiful chocolate drops that do not have red hair that are capable of playing the part of Anna, that look up to Anna, I want them to be able to see themselves in me fully. So if I go out there with a red wig on, it's like, you know,
yeah.
I just want them to see themselves. And so that I was very happy that I made that choice at the end of the day. But that person, was so funny because that person was upset about my wig, and it was the day of a put-in or something. I wasn't in full costume, and I had my afro out, and I had on the Anna coronation gown, and I thought it was really cool I had on the Anna coronation gown with a fro. And I was just walking around like, so I told somebody to snap a picture of it, and I posted it, and people were so upset. And it was so funny because my community of color was like, "Ooh, wait, you have a fro in?" And I was like, "I wish we didn't go that far."
Right.
But like, you know, everyone
Disney
was like,
"Disney will do something," but then
right, but that's a little bit too, you know. And I was just like, "It's really cool that everyone was responding so positively. They were so excited to see Anna with a fro."
Yeah.
And then you get this crazy like, "What your hair is?" And then calling my hair frizz instead of calling it an afro. And I was like, "Are you referring to my hair?"
Wow.
Okay, let's let's chat. So, you know, I don't know. I just think it's important to have discussions. And I share it because I know that there are my friends. I have friends that will go and talk to that person in words that I will never say. You know, and so it's like you get it from both sides. But it's just, I don't know. It's an issue. And instead of ignoring it, I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I choose to
engage.
Have a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if you continue to be stupid and like,
if you don't want to have a conversation,
then
the
I'm not
going to
push.
Yeah.
But I'm also not going to allow you just to down talk me and not say anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because that's not fair.
No, totally. Totally. Yeah. And we talked about on here when was it last night? The Little Mermaid.
Little
Mermaid Live. Like people got all mad about that. And we talked about it on when that came out. And my
I actually think when we were first talking about it, we were talking about the Little Mermaid live action.
Right, that's what I meant.
Yeah. The live action, because the live action happened the other day, but there's a movie that Halle Bailey is doing.
I'm sorry, we were talking about the movie.
The movie.
The live action movie, and last night was like the...
The I don't know what that was.
Yeah, that
the
was
live theater thing, which I read this morning, like apparently did really well.
The ratings were great.
Was double the Rent ratings, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So I still haven't seen it.
Success.
I totally missed it. I just saw Queen Latifah in a
Ursula
thing.
Yeah.
And
I was like, wait, where was I the whole time this was happening?
I just heard Amber Riley like wailing. And I was like, oh, yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Give me more of that.
Yeah, she can. Well, we're talking about when the Little Mermaid thing came out was we were talking about it. My brother-in-law just listened to that episode and he was like, I burst out laughing because there was this one moment we're going back and forth about it. And I was like, she's a fish. Why is everybody?
Why does
so,
it matter?
It is a character. It is a fictional thing. And this the thing that a lot of people don't get to see that you get to walk through the autograph line and you see these little girls
who light up
because
they see someone that looks like them. That is not normal.
No, it's not.
And it's even to the point that like I got upset that these little chocolate drops. Well, not upset, but. I was just like, they come, and when they see me, they see themselves, and then they have to go buy a doll that doesn't look like them. I had a fan who made me a doll that looked like me, and I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. Wait, can you make more of these? And so she made them, and I just like gave them out at the stage door whenever I would see little
young.
Yeah. And not to say that, I mean, you can have a doll that is white, black, Asian,
no, but there's
like
100
anything.
Million dolls of little white dolls. Like there's 100, there's millions of those.
Yeah, and just like growing up, my mother made it a point that my sister and I saw our skin represented in our toys, in our books, so that we look around and we see ourselves.
Yeah,
and so for me, I just took that lesson and was just like, okay, it will be beautiful for these young little babies to walk away, especially if they see me up there, to walk away with a doll that looks like them. And then they have a piece that's like, oh, okay, I can do this too.
Yeah. So, no. And I find that with the show in general, that like the era of women, young girls who grow up in the Frozen era,
right?
You know, that where it is about sisterhood and it's about empowerment and it's about, you know, mm-hmm. you know, full fledged consent at the end when Kristoff kneels down and says, "Hey, can I kiss you?" It's my favorite moment in the whole thing, because what they're showing this moment of like, listen, a man needs full consent yeah. to kiss you, mm-hmm. and like all of the subliminal messaging that they don't even realize they're getting,
yep.
and they're going to come through the ranks. They're going to grow up, and they're with a lot of really good,
yeah.
you know, in the way that like I feel Belle, you know, made it cool to read and stuff yes. like these sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But like mm-hmm. they don't know, these young African American girls don't even know what they know when they see you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're coming through the line and they're like, oh, there's, and she's the princess and she gave me this thing. And like,
right.
that is going to just inform. Like yeah. when one of them becomes a friggin' senator or something, I hope you get a letter. Like, you know, I hope you yes. get a letter in 20 years.
You gave me a doll yeah, you know, yes. at the stage yeah. door right, right. at the St. James Theater.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
But that's yeah. where it's so important. You yeah. know, it's like the impact that has on kids who don't even know they're being impacted right. by it, in the same way that, you know, we were impacted by things as kids. Like you should be able to have that same experience as a young
yeah.
person of
yeah.
color.
And
it's
thing,
really important.
Right. And the thing that makes me upset is like people get in arms about having a person of color portray this princess. But then when you sit down and you look at all the other princesses, we have one mm-hmm. other black
right.
princess, but
right.
you know, and so it's just like, why is it fair for you guys to have 50 million of them yeah. and we just get one?
Yeah. Right.
Like, that's not fair either. Like, oh, yeah. they need to see themselves in different characters, you know, represented in different ways and
yeah.
in different stories. And yeah.
and I think the thing that has been really cool at Waitress to see is that there's a strong push to have, there's like so much diversity on the stage,
yeah.
but the show isn't about mm-hmm. racial tension
yeah.
or the struggles of kind of what has happened in this country,
yeah.
you know? So it's like elevating the stories that are being told so that it's like you can tell any story
yes.
you want to tell. It doesn't have
yes.
to be a story about
black people. Right? Yeah. yeah.
And that's
be,
so important for the
yeah.
next generation to see.
Definitely. Definitely. It doesn't have to be. It just needs to be a story about a human being.
Right.
and yeah. any human being can portray that, especially if it's not in a certain historic setting or like about a certain, I mean, you know, Hamilton, it can be about,
right.
you know, historical figures. But, you know, of course, we have certain stories that is like, no, this part needs to be this race. This part needs to be this whatever. But there are so many stories that we don't take liberty of just being more inclusive.
Yeah.
Right. We They're have like, to be so literal.
Yeah.
About,
and it's like, come on.
And it's like there, you know, if you have one character, like the daughter has,
right.
if the mother and the father are one race, then everyone has, and it's like, why can't we just like change
yeah,
it? Who cares? We're telling a story.
I kind of blame the film industry for
absolutely.
This. Because when you watch movies, they're so literal, mm-hmm. right? And the theater has been taking liberties with this stuff for a long time.
Yeah.
And I feel like, and theater can't be mass produced. So mm-hmm. only a certain amount of people get to see it. But like, there's this idea on TV and film that if there's a white mom and a white dad and they have an African American kid, what are they saying? It's
right.
got the, we have to explain that she was adopted or
and
whatever.
It's like no,
actually
don't.
just we're all actors. It's actors acting in an acting thing. This is all fake.
This is all fake.
This is
exactly.
all fake. We don't need to get into the you know, the biology of you know, kid,
right.
I don't
right.
know.
Let's
because
like
the kid can be
that.
White and the kid could be adopted. like
exactly.
right. the kid could
right.
be any, you know,
right.
it's, I had a student send me a letter saying that one of her teachers told her that she didn't fit her vision for the role or something like that. And it was like a show and she was, it was the same thing. Like she had a child or she was the child and she
right.
was a different color than the parent. And they wanted to add a line in there to make sure people knew like she was adopted or she was this or she was that. And she was like, it made her feel so small and like yeah. not seen and not heard. And just, and then she came to see the show and she was just like, I felt seen and I felt heard. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that. And like, but just her writing to me about that. And she's like, and that gave me, you know, inspiration to like keep pushing. And then she was like, you know, at the end of the year I wrote a play like with my other classmates, and it was just, it didn't matter race and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
We were just, we didn't have to explain it. And it wasn't, I fit into the vision that we created for myself and things like that. And I think her teacher came around in the end, but it's just like, how can you tell this young woman, oh, I'm sorry, you don't fit into the vision of something that's like, she can actually play that.
Yeah,
and it
right.
does, it's fine.
Yeah.
But you're making it about so much about her race that you're like forgetting that she's a human being and that she has the capability to play the part.
To play the part and may be the best person for the role.
Yeah.
You know? Just like,
But you're just like X-ing her out just because. Okay.
Yeah. And then, I mean, we talked about this with all the double duty and all the things. I mean, you're developing musicals and stuff all the time and you just did a very fancy one with my wife.
Yes.
And that might be coming up, maybe.
The reservations are online, but we still don't have a piece of paper.
It's a really good metaphor because there's, you know, that's happening all the time. I have some other friends who have been doing a workshop of something that like just they all have the offer. I'm not going to talk about what the show is, but there's a lot of waitress people involved and they all have an offer to do a lab that. That's not happening.
Oh, my God.
The lab has been canceled, and they haven't been told.
I know you can't, but...
Oh, yeah. I heard you did really well for that.
Yes!
Yeah.
And they called me the way the... thank you, God. They called me, and they told me that it wasn't me. And I was like, I felt really bummed about it because I was in the middle of this other thing, and I was going hard for these auditions and making time and like was like, oh, my God, I feel so... It felt close. It felt like... It was right there. Like they were about to hand it over to me. That's what it felt like. And I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. But you know, whenever we feel that, we don't give in to it completely because we're like, until we see a piece of paper or we get that call, it's not a thing. And so I got the call saying it wasn't a thing. But then the next day I got the call from Frozen telling me that I'll be on the same dates that that lab would have been taking place.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, okay. Thanks, God.
Yeah. Right.
You know, what is for you is for you. What isn't, you know.
Exactly. And we talk, you know, Joe and I privately talk a lot about like kind of like the way that alignment works.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting that, to bring it back to you specifically, like you were more in line with Anna and that's why that like came to be for you. You know, it was just like you couldn't change yourself and who you are inside.
No.
You just happened to be. Of the essence of another character, you know?
And this thing that didn't work out. And the fact that they saw that and were like, actually, do this one, you know, is a blessing in itself.
Right. Totally.
That's casting at its finest. That's when, like, you know, they do see, like, hey, would you... I've auditioned for Waitress so many times, and the last time that I went in... Barry Weisler was like, would you read for... Is it Og?
Ogie.
He's like, will you read for Ogie? And I was like... Really?
He had a work session for Earl originally, like before Cambridge. You've gone in for Earl since then, at
I've
least
gone
once.
In for the doctor four or five times.
But say, have you been for the doctor every a lot.
Every male character. But then I was like, I went back in for the doctor again, which I love working on that material. It's really, it's a great packet to sing. But then Barry was like, would you look at Ogie? And I was like, oh, really? Really? Okay. Yeah. All right.
You'd be great though.
It was really silly and fun. And then it was like, and it was great because then Pat was like, that was hilarious. Like, thank you for doing a cold read of this basically. Right. I was like, why not? You know?
Yeah.
But that's and they also may have just wanted to see like that side of you for the doctor too.
Yeah, exactly.
You
know? Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
But we've taken your whole morning. And so I just want to end. This is my last little
question. I got one.
Oh,
too,
you got, okay. You go first. You go first. And then I'll
Joe has his favorite question.
Yeah, you did. Okay.
So I want to know, like, clearly you have some kind of magic.
Me?
Yes. Cause I mean, every time you walk into a room, it seems like everyone's, just falls in love with you, which is totally like, such a gift and is so amazing. And I'm sure it's probably hard to kind of talk about what that might be. So I'll just ask, you know, what would you tell 14-year-old version of Aisha? Ooh. What would you say to 14-year-old Aisha? And it doesn't have to be about auditioning or anything like that. It's just like, what would you want to tell your younger self about what you've learned in this business?
Wow. Definitely your gift will make room for you. So trust it, you know, it'll open the doors for you and it'll get you to where you're supposed to be. And just a reminder that like you're right where you're supposed to be. Like even if it feels like, oh, I want to be there or I need to do this or I need to do more. You're right where you're supposed to be. So take in that space, look around you, see what you can be grateful for. Like switch your perspective to not, I think we get so stuck on the future, like what we want to do and what's next, that we miss so many gifts that are right here in front of us right now that are happening at this current moment because we choose to like look at what's not happening and look That's at awesome. What's going wrong and look at like, oh, I need to be better at this and better at that. And it's just like, no, switch your perspective. What is going right? You know,
yeah.
What is a blessing? What do you have to be grateful for? Focus on those things and allow that to fuel you to get better, to, you know, work harder. But like, yeah, be present. Be present.
Yeah, we get so caught up in...
I need to hear that now. 14-year-old Aisha needs to hear it. I'm like, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I asked that question that way, because it, you know, it's totally going to be applicable to everyone in every situation. But we do get so caught up in our business with like what we don't have, or because there's this inevitable like pending doom of the fact that like we feel like this may never happen
right.
again.
You'll never get there. What's
and like
on?
And like instead of worrying about that this may never happen again, like enjoy this thing
enjoy
that might be the last time.
Yeah, right. At the current moment.
If this is the last thing, you don't want to spend the whole time worrying about when the show is going to close or like what you're going to do next.
Because then you move on to the next thing and you look back and you're like, what do you have positive to remember from that experience?
Right.
If the whole time you were using it to like be negative and like think about what you don't have. And also, I think it's very important for us to not compare ourselves to other people and their journey. Everyone's journey is so different. And people are always like, how did you get to Broadway? How did you get this? When did you do this? And I'm like, there is no 1, 2, 3, ABC, do this, do that, and you are guaranteed.
Right,
there are people
right.
who have been here in the city for 10 plus years and have never made their Broadway debut
right.
or haven't done this or haven't done that. Like, it's such a different process for each and every individual that it like inconveniences us to compare ourselves to our neighbor
100%.
In their journey
totally.
And what they're doing. And so, yeah, Aisha. Little 14-year-old baby.
And Joe, you should ask your favorite question.
Well, now that the heat just turned back on, so we gotta wrap this up. It's heat season again.
It's
Dan.
It's on.
It actually doesn't sound too bad.
Oh, great! So we'll just do this. Okay. Yeah. My favorite, like, just to end, is what's your impossible dream? What is the thing that's like next on the horizon that you're looking to? That you're like, I want this thing. I'm striving towards this thing in the distance. That like,
yeah. Okay.
My thing
that I'm striving towards, I want someone to write a show for me. That's my thing. That's I don't know.
That.
Yeah, I do.
Have to manifest. The point of that question is always just to like put it out.
You have to put it out there.
What do you want to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because so clearly we set out on this goal when we're 10, I want to be on Broadway.
Right.
So then you hit that and it's like, okay, well, but what do you keep? What's the next? Where do you want to go?
Yeah, originating a principal role.
In something that's
yeah, and when people are like, what's your dream role? I'm always like, I want someone to create a show or a role for me, you know, or with me in mind. Or maybe I'll create it, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
that's
it.
I love that. And that's also like the ultimate responsibility. And so I want to see it.
Me too. It's going to happen.
Yeah. It's going to happen.
That's a great.
Well done.
Thank you, Aisha.
Thank you so much for being here. This was so awesome.
Thank you for having me.
Congrats on all your success. And I mean, you just really kill it. And I hope that we can get a sliver of your magic and share that with somebody else who needs it.
It's going to happen.
That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Sharing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.